We turn now to a problem that is challenging families, police, courts, and the prison system in Michigan. How to handle mentally ill people in our state. With the closing of most of our state's psychiatric hospitals through the 90s and early 2000s, and deep cuts in community mental health programs, state prisons and county jails are holding thousands of inmates who are mentally ill. Judge Milton Mack has had a front row view of the poor way that Michigan treats its mentally ill. He is the chief judge of Wayne County Probate Court. And someone else who's right there in the trenches trying to help mentally ill patients is psychiatrist Dr. Michelle Reed, who's the medical director of the Detroit Wayne County Community Mental Health Agency. And I want to welcome both of you and thank you for joining us today on Stateside.
Thank you, Cindy.
Thank you.
Pleasure to be here.
Judge Mack, I want to start with you. In the 20 years that you have been a Wayne County probate judge, that pretty much coincides with the closing of most of Michigan's psychiatric hospitals and then the concurrent failure by the state to provide the promised increased funding and resources to the community mental health agencies. So how has this been reflected in your courtroom?
Well, it's been reflected in more misery. I just see case after case of people who didn't get timely treatment. If they'd had timely treatment, I wouldn't see them. We have a mental health model in Michigan, which is based on an inpatient model for mental health treatment. But we live in an outpatient world. The mental health code was written in 1974 and is very good at what it intended to do, which was to prevent mental health treatment. And does a great job at that and still does today. Today, we know that early intervention helps people survive, helps people recover, helps people lead normal lives. But the mental health code is designed to not permit that to happen.
And when you see these individuals in your courtroom, what's the status?
I see very few cases where there's a question of fact as to whether a person needs treatment. I see long histories of mental illness. Statewide, judges order treatment in almost 99% of the cases because we don't even see the close cases anymore. We see people who have families who come in front of us who've been desperately trying to get help for family members and can't get it. And I see nothing but frustration by family members and broken lives.
There's one estimate that at least 20% of the inmates in Michigan are severely mentally ill. Dr. Michelle Reed, does that figure surprise you?
Yes, studies have been done by the state of Michigan, interviewing people in prison and looking at the rates of mental disorders, and it ranges anywhere from 15 to 30%. I would like to correct one misperception. Although you are entirely accurate that there's many less state psychiatric facilities than there have been in the past, I think we're down to six now, the majority of funding for those facilities, when they closed, went into community mental health. So over the last 20 years, there has been a massive expansion in the budget for community mental health, but that expansion in the budget has not really kept up with the demand for services. And I think there are other factors that also impact that. You hear the judge talking about the need for early intervention, and again, the issue of stigma. There's a stigma to having a mental disorder, and people often don't come for help early because there's a perception in the community that this makes a person less than and it's not acceptable, and that's something that we have to continue to fight on a daily basis.
Dr. Reed, I've seen a quote where you have characterized Judge Mack's approach to the mentally ill as what you call a downstream approach, while you're pushing for what you call an upstream approach. Could you explain that for us?
Right. I think what we're talking about, Judge Mack is talking to you about a person who, he talks about both. He talks about a person who's already identified as mentally ill, a person who's coming to the court. The issue is, as Judge Mack is telling you, that many of these individuals we may have been able to know even as early as kindergarten or first, second, third grade, elementary school, that there were issues with these individuals. In other words, there were school failures, there were family problems and other issues. The early intervention model is to put more money and energy, not waiting until the person needs to be part of the court or the juvenile justice system, but to get to them in elementary school, work it with the Head Start programs, work in preschool programs to identify people at risk for mental disorders and make needed services available. In Chicago, they have a number of programs relative to a public health or approach they took to children who have had adverse exposure to violence. So children who are exposed to violence at a young age have a tendency to experience trauma and are more likely to develop emotional problems later in life. And so they're working with first responders like police and school teachers and people at churches to identify children who have been exposed to violence at very young ages and getting a trauma-informed services into them at an early age before the disorders take hold and before they wind up part of the juvenile justice or criminal justice systems.
Judge Mack?
Well, there are over 340,000 people with severe mental illness incarcerated in America today. Less than 50,000 are in hospitals. I feel like it's back to the future. Prior to the 1850s, the mentally ill were kept in prison, and the reform movement led by Dorothy Dix was to provide institutions for persons with mental illness. And here we are again today. Once again, the primary institution for the mentally ill in America today is prison, by a ratio of nearly 7 to 1. And I submit that a lot of that is because we cannot intervene early. People need treatment early, and they can't get it.
Why?
The standard for intervention by the courts is very high. In order for me to order treatment for someone who's mentally ill, they have to be in extreme danger of immediate harm, like suicide or homicide. On the other hand, for all other illnesses in Michigan, all you have to do is show that the person is incapacitated, that they don't understand their need for whatever treatment it is, whether it's cancer, tuberculosis, or anything else, and I can enter an order that allows that person to get treatment. I can't do it for mental illness. On the other hand, I can appoint a guardian for someone who's mentally ill. And let's say I appoint a guardian for someone who's mentally ill and has cancer. The guardian can consent to cancer treatment, but the guardian cannot consent to mental health treatment. If the guardian could consent to mental health treatment, then the person's capacity could be restored, and they could make their own decision about their cancer treatment. Hmm. It's a bizarre system.
This sounds very catch-22.
It's bizarre.
And Dr. Reed, you must encounter this kind of catch-22 craziness constantly as you work with the Detroit Wayne County Community Mental Health Agency.
Right. What I would say is that no one in the mental health system will say that we disagree with the need to get early treatment. Mm-hmm. But what I think I'm saying is that it needs to be a two-pronged approach. Waiting until a person is already mentally ill and needing treatment on an involuntary basis, that's a downstream approach. We need that approach because, as Judge Mack is indicating, there are people in the court system and elsewhere that need treatment now. But also we need to take an upstream approach that Judge talked about earlier, which is preventing much earlier. We already know the risk factors for developing mental disorders. We know homelessness in families affects people. We know untreated substance abuse in families affects people. We know that adverse exposure to violence and trauma in small children increases the likelihood that you would have a mental disorder later in life or wind up in the juvenile justice system or the correction system. So it needs to be a two-pronged approach. We need a downstream approach to address those that have already developed mental disorders. And then we need a more upstream approach in terms of prevention to deal with these things early on. We work, for instance, a very innovative program here in Michigan that the state has supported, infant mental health. We are working with children from ages 0 to 6 who are high risk and getting needed services before they're hardly even in kindergarten. These are the effective programs and found, even with mothers with mental disorders, even more effective. So if you have a depressed mother who has issues with a small child, getting the needed services in there not only reduces the likelihood that the child will be in juvenile detention, but it also improves the mother's adherence to treatment and makes it more likely that the mother would take medication and go for services. So I'm saying we need a two-pronged approach. We need to deal with the current issue, but we also need to get very upstream in terms of prevention.
And I would agree with Dr. Reed. Dr. Reed and I both served on the Governor's Mental Health Commission, and we both described the system as broken, and it is broken. And I would submit that a mental health system that allows more people with mental illness to be incarcerated than treated is a system that's broken. In Wayne County, or actually in Michigan, the largest inpatient mental health provider is the Wayne County Jail. And just to make a little more personal, we had one of the district courts in Wayne County. This person was charged with a rather small misdemeanor, destruction of property or something. He can't make bond, so he's put in jail. He comes to court for his trial date, and the prosecutor says, well, Judge, he's been in jail for 30 days, so if he pleads guilty, he can be released for time served. Defense attorney says, that sounds good. And then the defendant says, excuse me, Judge, since I've been in the Wayne County Jail, I've been getting treatment for my mental illness. Could I have more time, please? Hmm. And the judge agrees and says, okay, I'll give you 30 more days. And then he says, in a Dickinsonian style, could I have some more, please? And he got 60 days. So is that what it's come to? That if you have a mental illness in Michigan, you're looking for treatment in jail? I think that's a disgrace.
So can I ask both of you, especially you were on the governor's commission, are your calls, these clarion calls that you're both issuing, are they falling on deaf ears? Are efforts being made? Dr. Reed, you referred to the infant mental health program as something the state supports. That's good. But why does this exist? Is it being shoved aside in lieu of bigger problems?
Oh, I think it's just a multi-pronged approach. It's a complex set of situations that can be diverted from jail. So yes, there are programs out there. Are there enough programs, enough funding to meet the needs of everybody who needs them? Perhaps not. But again, a large part of it has to do with it's funding is an issue, of course. Mm-hmm. There's always a need for additional funding to serve additional individuals. But I think also it's a societal issue. People who have mental disorders and substance use disorders are not necessarily viewed the same way. The judge talked about somebody with cancer. They're not treated the same way with insurance. They're not viewed in the same way with regard to guardianship. And I think that with the health care reform that's coming, it's going to provide increased access to mental health services dramatically. The Veterans Administration has had a massive this year increase in access to mental health services. So part of it is, are there access to services through our community? Do the communities accept these services? I mean, do people really view a person who has a mental disorder the same way they view a person who has cancer to accept treatment and encourage them to get the help? I mean, you would never deny that a person has cancer. If you have a family member with breast cancer or colon cancer, you're out there encouraging them to get help. You visit them in the hospital.
Sure.
You go with them to appointments. But if your family member has a substance use disorder or a mental disorder or even a developmental disability, those disorders are not viewed in the same way as general medical problems. And I would propose that they are general medical problems that warrant us to support persons with disorders, that treatment is available, that treatment works, and that people who have mental disorders can and do recover from disorders. And I think that's what's most important.
And just to follow up with what mm-hmm. Dr. Reed said, we treat mental illness different legally than any other illness. And to me, that's a stigmatizing event.
Right, and in and of itself, yeah.
We should treat mental illness like we treat any other illness.
So this really needs a fundamental change in how all of us regard people who are mentally
right.
ill and easing that stigma. And how would both of you propose that happened? How do we ease that stigma of being mentally ill?
A lot of it has to do with the policymakers. Hmm. I mean, I had a rather shocking experience recently. I appeared in front of the Detroit Wayne County Community Mental Health Board to talk about a program Dr. Reed and I are working on to expand the use of Kevin's Law to try to get more help to people so that they stay out of trouble. And one of the board members pointed at me and said, "You know you can't help these people. You know this treatment doesn't work." And I was stunned. I mean, I expect that from maybe a rookie legislator who doesn't know any better. But if you're on the mental health board and you're saying that, that's kind of shocking.
I think one of the best ways that I see in fighting stigma is working with what we call peer support specialists, peer mentors, and peer advocates. These are children and adults who have mental disorders who have recovered and are actually part of our system. They become policymakers. They're designed in the design, delivery, and evaluation of the mental health system. So I think the easiest way to combat stigma is to have consumers, family members, and advocates more actively involved with boards, as we're required by the state, and also more actively involved in the design, delivery, and evaluation of the mental health system. So with people with mental disorders who have recovered are at the table during decision-making, you come out with a very different outcome, and colleagues and professionals begin to see them as part of the workforce. So I said the best way is to increase the members who have mental disorders in the workforce. That's, I think, one way to deal with it. I think also parity of mental health coverage has done a great thing to increase that. You know, maybe 10 years ago, Blue Cross Blue Shield, if you had a heart attack or a stroke, there was no limit to the benefits you could get for care from a heart attack or stroke. But for mental disorders, there might be a $400 a year or a $2,500 year limit, and you could only be in the hospital maybe 45 days. So with the parity acts in Michigan and Nashville, that also will help decrease and end discrimination in the medical field relative to health care coverage.
Something else in your toolbox.
Right. And actually, just to follow up, we had three members of the Mental Health Commission were people who had mental illness, who had been through the system, and who are doing well today. So it's important that people see that people with mental illness can function normally in society, hold down jobs, and be productive. The mental health system we have today, holds people back. If you have a mental illness and you manage to get access to care and you get treatment and you get well, if you get a job, you risk losing your coverage and going right back where you started. So in working with the Mental Health Association of Michigan, we've looked, and in fact, the Mental Health Commission recommended changing the law in that regard so that people who have been in the system and gotten help keep that help when they get well. I mean, it's been disappointing. We made about 70-some recommendations at the Mental Health Commission, and so far, nothing has been done. I think there may have been inertia. It's a complicated area, very complicated. People don't understand it. I'm not sure the policymakers still realize that mental health is an illness which can be treated and people can recover. And trying to get the legislature and the administration to look at this kind of holistically in terms of, look, you've got a prison system which is has an awful lot of people in it who don't belong there because they're mentally ill. They should have gotten treatment instead, and reallocate the resources. And we have to restructure the mental health system in Michigan.
I would say, have 100% of the recommendations of the Mental Health Commission been taken up by the state? No. But there has been progress in several key areas. And I would say, is it enough? We can always do more. But I think in the area of suicide prevention, it has had a big impact. Every county, we have full activities relative to reducing suicide, and we're making progress in those areas. There has been expansion in terms of jail diversion services. There have been expansion and increased funding for outpatient services. Is it enough? No, but there has been progress in the area, but we're always continuing to push, as the judge said, that we can do better.
To me, the mental health system will be working when we have more people receiving treatment in healthcare hospitals than in prisons. I'm not saying hospitalize everybody, but mm-hmm. we should not have such a high level of hospitalization of people with mental illness. Now, clearly, people with mental illness...
A high level of incarceration.
Right.
Yes.
We've got to release... And frankly, if you look at healthcare, the healthcare measures, performance measures, dashboards, whatever you want to call mm-hmm. it, they are extensive throughout healthcare except mental illness.
I want to thank both of you. I know this is not the last we're going to be addressing this issue. It's complicated, and it does touch every corner of our state, homes where people are coping with this as parents worrying about a child or siblings worried about a sibling battling mental illness. And so I know we haven't solved this all today, and I want to thank both of you for your time. And I know we'll be talking again, the Honorable Milton Mack, Chief Judge of the Wayne County Probate Court, and Dr. Michelle Reed, the Medical Director of the Detroit Wayne County Community.